Okay, so slightly better day on the markets today. Yesterday, it was all about the trade wars. Today, it's all about negotiations and making peace. And that is causing the markets to start recovering, as you can see here. If you delve into this recovery, if you delve into the tokens that are actually recovering, what you'll notice is that there is a certain subset of tokens that are recovering. It's not all tokens that are recovering equally. There are some that are recovering better than others. And there's a narrative at play, and the narrative is all about this big crypto summit that's happening at the White House that starts on Friday, right? It's the first ever crypto summit at the White House, and there are very, very, very big guests attending the summit. And the tokens that are recovering are the ones that are recovering that around this summit. It's the USA coins that are actually starting to recover. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at all the USA coins that are recovering around the summit. And we're going to build a tier list. We're going to look at literally whether we would, whether they superior quality, S quality, whether they're top quality, whether they may pump, whether they meh, or whether we should avoid them altogether. And we're literally going to be looking at every single one of those tokens based on the fundamentals, based on the pumpermentals, and based on what we think may come out of this White House or the summit at the White House on Friday. So listen, if that sounds good to you, subscribe to the channel, obliterate the like button, obliterate the like button. Let's get the show on the road, guys. These markets are crazy. One day it's up, one day it's down, up, down, up, down. One day it's a trade war, the next day it's trade negotiations. But you know what happens when this happens? Is ultimately the markets get more and more scared. And as the markets get more and more scared, we get more and more losses in the markets. And actually, if you look at the S&P over here, if you look at the level which the S&P is at, you can see that the S&P is now back to the same levels as it was when Trump was actually elected. So the market has basically given up the entire gains, the entire pre-election gains, which is, I'd say that's quite a big hit for the markets to take. Anyway, yesterday it was all about tariffs and trade wars. Today it's all about peace. It's all about negotiations. Yesterday there was the trade wars and the tariffs were actually imposed. But then Howard Lutnick basically came out and said that he thinks that Trump will accommodate. He says Trump will meet Mexico and Canada in the middle on tariffs. We're going to probably be announcing that sometime tomorrow, referring to sometime today. You can see that Canada was actually pushing back. But then Howard Lutnick actually went on to Fox News and he said,
"Going to come out today angry that Americans are still being killed." Now, both the Mexicans and the Canadians were on the phone with me all day today trying to show that they'll do better. And the president's listening because, you know, he's very, very fair and very reasonable. So I think he's going to work something out with them. It's not going to be a pause, none of that pause stuff. But I think he's going to figure out, you do more and I'll meet you in the middle some way. And we're going to probably be announcing that tomorrow. So somewhere in
that's
the middle.
That's what I said to you yesterday. I said to you very much, this is a negotiation tactic. You start off by imposing the tariffs. Once the tariffs have been imposed, then you start the negotiation. Then you start getting what you actually want. But as I said to you, as this happens, what happens is that the markets actually start taking a hit. And as I showed you, the S&P 500 is now back to where it was in November, on the 5th of November, on the election day. If you look at Bitcoin and actually crypto, so if you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin is still actually quite a way ahead of where we started on when Trump won the elections. But then you need to remember that we went through like a long sideways chop, one of the longest sideways chop, and actually downward chop with the previous administration. So it wasn't a very high base. And the same thing with altcoins. Even altcoins, even after they've been obliterated, so much, you can actually see that that we're still above where we were on the 5th of November. But that's not saying much. Anyway, today we're going to talk a lot about the summit at the White House. We're also going to talk about what Trump's master plan is, because I think we're starting to get a good feel for what this Trump master plan actually is. I actually want to show you that. But what I need you guys to do, I need you guys to obliterate the like button. I see that a lot of people haven't yet destroyed the like button. I see that Bitcoin is just under 90,000 at the moment. Remember I said to you, Trump is operating to another plan. And I think the plan that Trump is actually operating to is actually this plan over here. So, you know, the US has a very big national debt, almost $37 trillion of national debt. Problem is that this debt needs to be refinanced. And so one of the theories out there is that Trump is trying to his best to reduce the interest rates before they start refinancing this debt. Imagine you're Trump and you've got $10 billion or $7 trillion of debt that needs to be paid in the next 6 months. If you don't repay it, effectively what happens is you need to refinance it, right? If you're refinancing it and the interest rates are 4.5%, just work it out, $7 trillion at 4.5%, you're talking about $300 billion. If you can get the interest rate down to, say, 3%, then you go from $3 or $4 billion to $2.1 billion, right? And so I think the plan that Trump is trying to play here is he's trying to get the interest rates down so that they can refinance the debt. Because remember, Trump is all about reducing the deficit. Trump is all about cutting spend, right? And so I think what the play here is, start cooling down the markets. Start the markets starting to think that there's going to be some kind of recession. Whilst at the same time, show that inflation is coming down, which is exactly what Trueflation is actually doing. You can see Trueflation is showing us that they actually believe that inflation is 1.43%. And that will make the market believe that there are rate cuts actually coming. So you can see that if you look at the probabilities now, the market is now still forecasting 3 rate cuts this year, which is a big jump because remember, about a month ago, the Fed was only forecasting that there'd be 1 rate cut this year. So I think this is the game that Trump's actually playing. And the narrative now on Wall Street, and specifically if you look at what Howard Lutnick's saying all over the news, is he's saying, look, tariffs aren't going to cause inflation. What causes inflation is pretty much government spending and government printing money. That's the narrative that's coming out of the White House.
I mean, how much pain are we going to be willing to take in inflation if all of a sudden they hit us right back?
Remember, so you made one comment. So inflation comes from a government printing more money. Some prices
you don't
can
think
rise.
It can come from
this
tariffs.
Bottle of water.
It can't happen at all.
No,
from tariffs.
Tariffs do not create inflation. Printing money creates inflation. You have a balanced budget. There can't be inflation. It doesn't mean one product could be more expensive and one product could be less expensive. But China, I'll give you an example. China has the highest tariffs in the world. In the world. Everything gets tariffed in China, and they don't have inflation. In fact, they have deflation. India, the second highest tariffs in the world, they don't have inflation. So this concept is just people whining and complaining and not being truthful. The fact is, we need to protect America. Why does China tariff everything, and we give them a free ride back here, and they subsidize the opioid production? They subsidize opioid production.
So you see, they're all working to a certain narrative now on Wall Street. And then the narrative is tariffs aren't going to increase inflation. And what they're doing is they're trying to spook the market, slow down the markets so that the markets can cool down and so that they can force the Fed's hands to actually start reducing inflation. And I think that is Trump's, the great Trump master plan. Anyway, that is the macro picture. Let's talk about the altcoins because I know that's why we're all here. So we are having a better day on the crypto markets. I mean, you can say we are having a better day, but you know, when your base is so low, it's easy to have a good day. We've had so many bad days. It's easy to have a good day. The one good thing that we need to look at is all this talk. Remember that you can talk as much as you like, but the markets will decide what they believe. And what we can see is that the markets believe that the dollar index is starting to break down. The dollar is starting to weaken, and it's starting to weaken at quite a big rate. So you can see that a few weeks ago in January, the dollar, the Dixie was at 110. And we came on the show and we said to you, look, the last time Trump came into power, the Dixie was also at one of its highest levels. And now what you can see is that the Dixie is, it's almost like crashing down. It's at 104.5, which is huge. What that means is that the market believes that interest rates are going to be coming down soon. That's pretty much what the market is telling you. And as the Dixie weakens, what you'll realize is that risk assets that are priced in US dollars actually get more expensive. And that is the reason why probably the Bitcoin and probably the altcoins have actually started to go up. But that's not the only reason. The other reason why some altcoins are going up better than others, and if you look at this map of the altcoins, if you look at the bubbles on the altcoins, in fact, let's just quickly have a look at stocks. Stocks are having a mixed day. I see Uber's up 2.9%. AT&T down 4.67%. Josh, I love the new stocks thing. I really do. Guys, if you want stocks, it's here on Banter Bubbles. Just click stocks. You've got crypto and stocks now. Anyway, going back to stocks now, you can see that there's certain tokens that are actually recovering much better than other tokens. Tokens like Cardano, tokens like Link, tokens like Ondo, tokens like Aave, tokens like Render. And the reason why these tokens are recovering is because of this White House summit that is actually, it's the first ever crypto White House summit, which is actually starting on Friday, starting on the 7th. Now, here, we're going to have a whole lot of attendees, and a lot of these attendees have actually started to confirm. It's some of the biggest names. And if you've been watching Eleanor Terrett's account, what you can see is that she's been publishing all the names as and when they confirm that they're actually going. And it really is becoming a who's who of crypto in the United States. It's like some of the biggest names that are either in projects, in exchanges, in regulation, et cetera, et cetera. So Eleanor's been publishing a list of people that have actually been going. So you can see that Arjun, who's the CEO of Kraken, he's going. Vlad, who's the CEO of Robinhood, he's going. Brian Armstrong, obviously going to be going. One of the project founders, there's not a lot of project founders that have actually accepted, but Sergey Nazarov from Chainlink, he's actually accepted. Zach Witkoff, who's the founder of, or one of the founders of World Liberty Fi, he's going. Kyle Samani's going, no surprise, because as you know, Kyle Samani and David Sachs are quite close, because David Sachs was one of the first investors into Multicoin Capital when Kyle Samani actually started the fund. He has since disposed of his holding. And the reason he disposed of his holding is because he wanted to be conflict-free. He didn't want to have any conflicts of interest. Then you've got David Bailey, who's he was the guy that actually got Trump to speak at the Bitcoin conference. He's the founder of the Bitcoin conference. Obviously, Michael Saylor. You've got Matt Huang from Paradigm and a whole lot of other founders. In fact, if you look at it graphically here, here's a list of pretty much all the people that have said they're going. Michael Saylor, Brian Armstrong, Vlad Tenev, Sergey Nazarov, Matt Huang, JP Richardson, David Bailey, Kyle Samani, Arjun Sethi, Zach Witkoff, David Sachs, Bo Hines. He's the president of the working group. Scott Bessent, he's the new Janet Yellen. Howard Lutnick, who's the U.S. Department of Commerce. And so the list actually goes on. Someone actually made a graphic, believe it or not, and the graphic is around all the projects that this is good for. So like Bo Hines, good for BTC, good for Trump, good for RTR, good for all of these projects. Anyway, so here is a full list of the people that may actually be going, and we'll keep updating this list as people actually accept. So you'll realize that Paolo Arduino from Tether, he's not there yet. Kathy Wood, not there yet. You know who also haven't seen on this list? I actually haven't seen Larry Fink. I haven't seen Larry Fink saying that he's going to be attending. But I'd imagine that these guys are all going to be attending because they've all got some kind of vested interest. And so now what we need to do is we need to look at all the potential tokens that may actually benefit from this. And there's a whole lot of tokens that may actually benefit from this. Miles actually mentioned that. He said there's ETF contenders. There are tokens that are made in the United States. There are tokens that are mentioned by Trump. There are projects that are attending the summit. And we need to decide exactly what would happen to these tokens and whether it's actually worth buying these tokens ahead of the summit. Now, I think let's just talk a little bit about the summit. I think that this is a summit. And a summit is not really about a lot of announcements, but it's more about discussion. I think that the people that are going to the summit are looking to get some kind of clarity as to the process that is being followed and to be part of a working group to discuss the future of crypto and crypto assets in the United States. And so I've been reading a whole lot of things on Twitter, a whole lot of things, people saying this will be announced and the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve will be announced and tax cuts will be announced. I don't think there's going to be that many announcements, because remember that for announcements, things have to go through the Senate and things have to go through the Congress. And none of that's gone through the Senate and none of that's gone through the Congress. So I think it's really going to be less about announcements and more about discussion and much, much, much more about a working group, right? I think there's going to be some clarification around the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. And actually before today, or before our show today, Scott Melker actually tweeted, he said, the White House Summit will announce a strategic Bitcoin reserve according to U.S. Secretary Howard Lutnick. Other tokens will be treated positively, but differently. And to me, this is probably the smartest and the most likely outcome of exactly what's going to happen. Because as I said, I think that the idea of a Bitcoin reserve is really something that I can get behind. But the one thing that I can't really get behind is like the US taxpayers buying XRP or buying Solana or buying Cardano with taxpayers' money. I just don't believe that that can actually happen. And so I think there will be some talk around what the framework is for the Bitcoin strategic reserve. And hopefully this tweet is actually right. And what it is that there's going to be a Bitcoin strategic reserve, but actually that all other tokens will actually be treated differently. And so I guess that the next thing that we need to look at is we need to take a look at the actual tokens that stand to benefit out of this and decide whether or not we want to be holding any of these tokens. And the reason why I say that is because I think this USA-centric narrative is not one which is going to die down pretty soon. I think for the next couple of weeks and specifically the next couple of months, I think there's going to be a big narrative around the USA tokens. We've already seen a big narrative around the USA tokens, and I don't think that it's going to be dying down. But remember that our approach in this market is to manage the downside and to let the upside take care of itself. Now, what does that mean when it comes to the USA tokens? It means that when the tide comes up for the USA tokens, we want to make sure that we're riding all the best USA tokens. But when the tide goes down, when we're protecting our downside, we need to make sure that the tokens that we're actually land up holding in our portfolio long-term actually have fundamentals. And if we do land up going through another brutal bear market, we want to make sure that if we did land up buying the USA tokens, that we land up buying and holding the correct ones that we're actually comfortable to hold for multi-cycle. And so what I did was I actually put together a tier list. And I said, look, here's not all the USA coins, because it's really impossible to do all the USA coins. But let's take all the major, major, major USA coins. And let's categorize all these major USA coins. And let's look at them like this. Obviously, you've got the S tier. And I think the S tier, I mean, we can say that Bitcoin is definitely one. It's the S tier. It's one of a kind. There's no other token that can do or does want to do what Bitcoin wants to do. But then you've got a whole lot of other tokens, which are American in nature. In other words, either there's American ETFs or they were made in America, or they can benefit from certain tax moves. Like one of the things that we're hearing, which again, I don't want to say announced because I don't think that it's going to be announced, but I think it may be discussed, right? Is that there may be some tax implications. Now, I've heard many variations of what these tax breaks may be. None of them are going to be announced. They're going to be discussed because remember, for any tax moves, you have to get approval, right? You have to have the laws passed and the approvals and whatever else. But I've heard things like the following. If you buy and sell American-based tokens, there may be a more favorable tax. If you trade out of one American token into another American token, there may not be any capital gains. There's a lot of these variations. And so you want to look at, you kind of know that there's going to be a USA-centric narrative token, token narrative, and you want to make sure that you're holding the right tier of tokens in your portfolio. And so I built a tier list. The first one, obviously, is Bitcoin. I mean, I don't think we have to discuss Bitcoin much further. It is the S tier. It's definitely going to be part of the strategic reserve. It may most likely, hopefully, will be the only one in the strategic reserve. And so I think, like, let's just call a spade, Bitcoin then gets here on its own. Okay, now, this is in no particular order. In fact, it is in a particular order. It's in alphabetical order. So it's not in runs order. It's very much in alphabetical order. Where do you put Cardano? So the truth is Cardano will pump. And the reason why Cardano will pump is because Cardano is a USA coin. It is one of the USA coins that has survived multi-cycle. From a technology point of view, I can't deny that Cardano actually has very, very, very good technology. The one thing that Cardano doesn't have is it doesn't have a big builder community, and there's not much being built on Cardano. I know that the Cardano people will argue with me a lot about this, but you know what? When you look at the actual data over here, and I want to just, you know, to actually show you specific data. Let's just get Cardano up on the screen here, because you can't argue data. You can argue sentiment and you can argue on Twitter as much as you want, but what you can't argue is you can't actually argue data. So here's Cardano versus all the other chains. I mean, it really does score very, very low. And that really is a sentiment. Marty Party said Cardano is currently running at 1.48 transactions per second. So it has got good tech. It has been a very resilient token. It survived multiple cycles. But the question is, do you want to be buying this token at a price of 93 cents and land up holding it multi-cycle? So the answer for me is it probably will pump, but it's not something that I'm going to have in my portfolio for the long term. So that's where I'm going to land up putting Cardano. And the same could probably be said for a token like Algorand. Algorand, you could probably say, yeah, it's decent technology. Not sure it's very unique technology. It's pretty good. It's got a small builder community and there are projects actually being built there. But it's also been around multi-cycle and it hasn't been able to get the big network effect. So for me, when I look at Algorand, for me, it's just, meh, I'm not going to be holding this one in my portfolio. All right, now we move on to some other tokens. So let's move on to Aptos, right? So Aptos is amazing technology, but they have had certain shakeups and they have had the adoption has been much slower than Sui, right? So the technology is good. The adoption has been okay, not so great, not as good as Sui, but it is one of the newer blockchains. Now, the truth is, I don't think that this one is actually going to pump, right? Or specifically, it's not going to pump because of the USA narrative. So whereas I think it's very good technology, I'm going to put a chair around the USA narrative only, right? There will be other times when Aptos will pump, but it's not going to pump because of the USA narrative. Okay, let's move on to Avalanche. Avalanche, good tech, good technology, decent adoption. Decent adoption, decent structures. We've got Godzilla Games, which is launching off the grid, which is launching as a subnet or a chain around AVAX. But the truth is that I don't think that this one is going to pump specifically because of the USA narrative, right? And so for me, again, I put it in here and I say, this is not one that's going to pump specifically because of a USA narrative. Polkadot. Truth is, this token's tried. It hasn't got product market fit. It hasn't had product market fit for a long time. It has been a cockroach and it has survived multi-cycle. But this is not something that I'm going to have in my portfolio. I just stay away. Just leave it alone. I think let this thing just die. Okay. We thought that at some stage it may actually recover. And eventually we just said, you know, just let this thing die. All right, let's talk about ETH. So ETH has decent fundamentals. Probably not as good as Solana, but has decent fundamentals. It could be added to the strategic reserve, but I don't think that that's a real narrative. But I think being the only other token with an ETF, I kind of think that you have to put this into the top quality play. You have to. I just think it's one of those things that you have to put into top quality play. All right, let's move on to Filecoin. So Filecoin, file storage protocol, it tries or is going to try to replace Dropbox effectively or a decentralized file storage network. It's one of those projects that has been moving for a long, long, long time, but just fails to get real traction. Now, one day it may actually get real traction, but the truth is that when I look at a token like Filecoin and I look at the fully diluted market cap of Filecoin at $2 billion, I kind of look at this and think to myself, you know what? I'm not saying I'm going to add it to my portfolio. And like, it's a big thing between meh and actually like avoid completely. All right, let's move on. The next one is the graph. So what is the graph? The graph effectively indexes smart contract data. So it becomes like almost like a library where you can access smart contract data. And the reason why that's important is because sometimes you want to be able to access data from smart contracts, specifically around developing. And the thing is that there's not many people who have managed to do this as well as the graph has managed to do this, right? I've got some stats for us on the graph. Anyway, the problem that I have with the graph is that they've been around for a long time. They've got a market cap, a very, 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 very big market cap, right? So look, you look here, you go look at the graph, very big market cap, $1 billion market cap. And then you start looking at their actual user numbers. And what you can see is that their user numbers are very, 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 very small. Let's see if we can actually find the actual daily active users, if we can find it, yeah? So if you look at, I actually even reached out to this team and said, look, I want to have a call with you guys because the valuation of $1 billion and the number of users doesn't actually match up in my head. And they said, oh, no, no, we don't want to have individual calls. I was, okay, I'm going to avoid this one. I'm avoiding this one like the plague. Also, I have found another project which does exactly what the graph does. No one really knows about this project yet. It's a very, very, very like under the radar project. But if you look at the revenue that these guys are doing, they're doing about 10 times the revenue that the graph is doing. The project is actually called SQD. Go and have a look at this project. It's called SQD. One of the projects that I actually called in Frontrunners a while back. But go and have a look at this project, because this project has a fully diluted valuation of $100 million. The graph has a fully diluted valuation of $1 billion. And this project actually has more users, generating more revenue on exactly the same thing, which is indexing of smart contracts. So for me, like, if you're going to go for the graph, go for SQD. All right, let's move on to HBAR. So HBAR is a project that's also been around for a long time. It's a very, very fast layer one blockchain. But again, it hasn't been able to get real traction. The only place that it has been able to get real traction is actually on Wall Street, where, you know, there's a HBAR potential ETFs, which are being filed. The HBAR has a big list of advisors. But the truth is, I've been in crypto for many, many years, almost 10 years now, and I don't know anyone that is actually building on HBAR. Have you guys used HBAR lately? No, you haven't used it. Hardest, have you used HBAR lately? Do you even know what wallet you'd use for HBAR? I also don't. But look, it may actually pump. And the reason why it may pump is because it's part of this, like, this clan of insiders inside the White House that is very, 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 very well connected. Do I want to be holding HBAR when the tide actually goes out? Abso-fucking-lutely not. I'm not holding HBAR when the tide actually goes out. I don't want to be holding it for three cycles. So I'd say, look, it may pump, but it's not going to live in my portfolio. All right, let's move on to the next one. The next one is Chainlink. For me, Chainlink, a quality token. Why? Because if there's going to be a real-world asset narrative, Chainlink is going to be one of the winners. It is the oracle that feeds the prices into the smart contract, and you have to have that. Number two, if you look at Sergey Nazarov, he is actually going to the White House. He's actually confirmed he's actually going to the White House. They also form part of the cross-chain narrative around CCIP, right? So CCIP is the Chainlink interchain protocol, right? And so for me, this plays into all of those narratives. And so for me, definitely I would put Chainlink as one of the top quality projects. All right, next one. Remember, these are in alphabetical order. This is not Run's order. Litecoin. Where would I put Litecoin? It is a USA coin. It's been around for a long time. It's had an identity crisis. First, it was silver to Bitcoin's gold. Then it became a meme coin. It's like said, okay, we're just becoming a meme coin. And now there's actually a lot of ETFs that have actually been filed for Litecoin. But then again, do I want to be holding Litecoin going into the next cycle? Absolutely not. So I'm going to put a chance. Say, look, it may pump, but it's not going to pump in my portfolio. If you want to catch a trade, you may want to do this, but otherwise leave it alone. Let's talk about Near Protocol. So Near Protocol, great technology. It's the AI chain, or they claim to be the AI chain. Very, 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 very smart developers. Also a USA-centric chain. But truth is, they failed to get the investor confidence. They failed to get the momentum. They failed to get the builder's momentum. And so I don't think that this thing is going to pump. And I certainly don't think it's going to pump because of the USA narrative. So I'm going to put that into the MAC category. Let's go into the next one, Ondo. So Ondo Finance is, for me, really the king of real-world asset tokenization in the United States. For me, it's going to be Ondo and it's going to be Mantra. Those are the two plays that I've got in my portfolio around real-world assets. They recently had their real-world asset summit in New York. For me, this is the one. If you want to have a real-world asset play in your portfolio, and you know that real-world assets are going to be a big part of the USA and a big part of Trump narrative and BlackRock narrative, you want to have Ondo in your portfolio. So for me, I put that as an A quality tier. I'm also going to put Solana there. And the reason why I'm going to put Solana there, I think it's self-evident that Solana has now become like the biggest blockchain by far. It's the cheapest blockchain by far in terms of transactions and transaction throughput and transaction speed. Everybody's talking about the Solana unlocks, but the Solana unlocks have now happened. And despite the fact that the Solana unlocks have happened, the price is still at $142. It's been hit really, really, really hard. What most people are not talking about is the fact that there is another proposal on the table. And the proposal on the table is actually around reducing the Solana inflation. So the one thing is about tokens coming into the market, but another thing is actually reducing the inflation in the market. And that's what this unlock, this new a proposal that Tushar Jain and some other people have actually made. And I think that if this proposal actually gets passed, and there's a very good chance that this proposal actually does get passed, then we get into a situation where Solana may actually even start running a lot harder. So for me, definitely Solana goes back into the A tier, and it's a made in America token. It's an American token. Funny enough, I don't see Raj and Anatoly yet on this list, but I suppose they'll be there. And also we know that Kyle Samani, who's a big Solana proponent, most of the Solana of Balticoin's fans are around Solana. He's there. And David Sachs, we know, is a big Solana fan, even though he sold all his Solana. All right, next one. Sui. I'm going to get back to Render, but let's talk about Sui. So Sui, great product, getting a lot of traction, will pump because it's just the darling of the cycle, but it won't pump because of the USA narrative. It will pump on fundamentals, and that's why I'm going to just put it into one of my A-tier projects. Okay, let's talk about Render. Render's a great project. It is all about distributed rendering power or distributed GPU power. The problem that I have with Render is that this cycle, Render hasn't been as exciting as all, and I do hold a big position in Render, but at a $2 billion market cap, is this thing really going to pump because of the USA narrative? For me, the answer is no. And therefore, I just don't want to be buying any of this because of the USA narrative. Okay, the next one is this token over here, which I have zero idea what this token actually is. Can you tell me what token this is? Oh, it's Celestia. Okay, Celestia. They need to write Celestia. Okay, so Celestia, very good project. Very, very, very good technology. It's all about modularization of blockchain. But the truth is, it's not going to pump because of the USA narrative. And it's not going to pump because it's a USA coin. So I'm just going to put it into meh. Trump coin. I mean, it's a meme coin. I mean, this is all about Trump. Josh, where would you put this one? I'm interested to know where you would put it. I mean, it may pump, but you don't want to be holding it in your portfolio, right? All right, so it would say, look, it's may pump, but we're not touching this. Uniswap. Uniswap's interesting. Why is it interesting? It's the biggest DEX by far, right? So if you look at DeFi Llama and you look at Uniswap, Uniswap is the biggest DEX on Ethereum. Also, Uniswap may implement fee sharing. And when they implement fee sharing, that may boost the price of the token. I actually think that this one must go into the A tier over here. All right, now we come down to two very similar tokens and two very similar technologies. First one, Stellar Lumens. And the second one is XRP. Now, for most people don't know that the same person that wrote the XRP ledger is the same person that wrote Stellar Lumens. His name was Jed McCaleb. He actually left XRP and he landed up running Stellar Lumens. Let's talk about where we'd place these in the tier list. XRP is pretty easy. It may pump because Brad is part of the mafia, because Brad is in the White House all the time, because Brad beat the SEC, because. Truth is, I don't want to be holding XRP. I think XRP is very, very, very highly valued with very, very, very few fundamentals to justify $141 billion market cap, right? And so this one may pump. It will pump if you want to catch a trade. But the truth is, when the cycle ends, I don't want to be having XRP in my portfolio because I just don't see the fundamental value. Also, as I said before, I build in crypto almost every day. I meet companies in crypto almost every day. You ever met anyone building on top of the XRP ledger? Me neither. Josh, you met anyone? Me neither, bro. All right, lastly, Stellar Lumens. Meh, it's not going to get any real traction. So that's the tier list. Like, if you want to be holding top quality projects, that may also gain because of the USA cycle. I'd go with Ethereum, Chainlink, Ondo, Solana, Uniswap, and Sui. If you're chasing the pump, Cardano, HBAR, Litecoin, Trump, and XRP. These are great projects. They're all like pretty good technology. In fact, yeah, probably do that. And I'd probably just do that. And that's pretty much what the picture looks like. That's pretty much what the picture looks like. Should I change it even more? Where should I put it? It's meh and avoid. pretty much, these are the ones that I'd be holding if you want quality. These are the ones that I'd be holding if you want a pump. Simple as that. Alrighty, just a couple of public service announcements. The first thing is, remember Eric Crown. You know Eric Crown. So Eric Crown is a big friend of the channel. In my mind, Eric is one of the best traders out there.
Of course, is that you're going to be able to set up your own strategy, bulletproofed by backtesting, which gives you accurate statistics upon that strategy's performance. And it's all based off of objective signals, something that is either a yes or a no. Is it a one or a zero? And this is why we avoid things like paying attention to the news or someone speaking at Bitcoin conference this weekend.
Hello, Bitcoiners. Good to be with you.
These sort of questions are what can really erode an account. That is why it's incredibly important to have these sort of defined signals.
So, the way Eric Crown trades is he trades very, very, very much on the technicals, very, very, very much on the Black and Scholes model. It's for really advanced traders. If you think that you are a slightly more advanced trader and you think that you can, that you want to join the course, this is the last free course that Eric Crown will be running. The next course that Eric Crown will be running with Banter will be a $2,000 course. You are warned. There are some spaces. If you click here, you can actually get into Eric Crown's course. You must use that link. There's 12 days for you to get in and to actually get approved. Okay. Someone says Crown's course is strong. He's done it twice. I'm talking to you about a host that's not a Banter host. And you can see, therefore, you got to appreciate that this is a very, 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 very powerful course. I've done the course. I've spent time with Eric. I've known Eric since I started trading in this game. This guy is the real deal. If you want to join the course, you've got 12 days to get accepted. There's a link below. I'm letting you know that after today, this course is going to be cost, after this cohort, this course is going to cost $2,000. So make sure that you guys know. Someone says this is trash. Don't waste your money. Bro, it's free. Therefore, you're not wasting money if you do it now. See how it works? Anyway, see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, that's quite interesting, that new outro that you've got. Trade well, my friends.